God has done everything possible to keep you and I out of hell. Matter of fact, if you go to hell, it'll be over his dead body. Because he died so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish. God wants all, not some. I didn't look that up either. God wants all to come to repentance. Oh, let me hurry up. The fact of the matter is that God does not want, it was not built for people. They ain't got no business down there. If you go to hell, you're an intruder. You ain't got no business down there. Somebody made in the image of God is in hell. How did that happen? But if you follow the devil, if you become one of the devil's children, then you're going to have the results of being in hell, a place where there's torment, a place where there is punishment. It's not punishing people, it's punishing evil. Hell. And he lifted up his eyes. He could see. His faculties, his senses, it were operative. He could taste. He could feel. He could see. And he was in torment. He was covered, engulfed. Have you ever seen anybody on fire in a house or in a car and they couldn't get out and the flames were just all around him? But he could see the wrong that he had done to Lazarus. And all it took was for him to be a nice guy and take him a plate or something. Amen. The fact of the matter is, Abraham talks to him. He says in verse 25, he says, son, remember. Amen. That means your memory is operative. Huh? You're going to remember stuff when you're in hell. Some folks say, I don't think I'm going to recognize. He recognized Lazarus. Do you think that we're going to be smarter here than we are there? No, you're going to recognize people in heaven. And I may get to it and I'll show you a few that got recognized. I'm going to be smarter in heaven. And he was smart and he had a memory. He said, you can remember in verse 25, remember in thy lifetime you had it. You received good things and Lazarus received evil or bad things. But now it didn't change, hadn't it? Lazarus is being comforted and you are tormented. Now, you could have been with Lazarus. It's just like right now. Some people, a lot of folk, maybe, no, hopefully none of us, going to be in hell and we don't have to be. He could have been up there with Lazarus. God is not prejudiced. God is not prejudiced. You can go to hell poor. You can go to hell. You don't have to be. And the thing is, he says, remember you had a lifetime. Amen. And that's what's so important. We have a lifetime, don't we? You got a whole lifetime to get it together. You got a whole lifetime to make the right choice, to make right choices. After all, life is just a record of the choices we make. And you have the chance right now to do the right thing. In thy lifetime. He had one, didn't he? He had a whole lifetime to get his act together, but he failed. He says, not only that, in verse 26, if I wanted to let you out, I couldn't. And if I wanted to send Lazarus down there, I couldn't do it. Abraham said, I've not been authorized. Matter of fact, it can't be done. He says, there's a big gulf fixed. There's a chasm. There's a space between where Lazarus is and where you are. There's a big gulf fix, and he couldn't even get there if he wanted to. Amen. And you couldn't get out. That ruined the theory of purgatory, or the postulation, I guess I better say, a purgatory, didn't it? Amen. Amen. Once you're dead, you can't get out. Can't nobody pray for you in the grave and pray you out of the grave. Maybe I'll get to that later too, amen. But the truth of the matter is that once you're there, There is no exit out. There are no exits in hell. You don't see no exit signs. There are no fire trucks in hell. Nobody can put out the fire. It burns forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And God never wanted it. Let me get on. He says, there's a, and he says, the folk down there can't pass over here, and the folk over there can't pass down there. And he says, and then he started praying in hell. That's, amen. Folk won't pray on there, but they'll pray in hell. Amen. He started praying. Amen. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, I'm praying. I need a favor. I need a favor. Go over to my father's house. And what I want you to do is, I pray you, verse 28, I talk to my five brothers. I got five brothers who won't listen. Amen. They crazy about sin. They won't turn around. I got some kinfolk that's coming this way. And the first somebody thought about was his brothers. He says, I've got some folk. And he says, I have five brothers that they may witness unto them that they won't come to this place of torment. Hell is a place. We won't talk about it. Gehenna and Hades are two different places, but we ain't got time to talk about it. But this hell is going to be dumped in the other hell. Amen. Hell, he says, he says that this is a place of torment, and he said, "Go warn my brothers." Hey man, he kind of want to share his faith. Now he want to do what we ought to be doing. Amen. He didn't say would you go and bless my brothers or anything like that. The important subject was hell. It's amazing how it's going to be. Well, the fact of the matter is that he lifted up his eyes in hell and he says, would you please go talk to my brothers? It's some folk that we need to be talking to that we're not talking to now. On this side, you don't think you need to talk to nobody. But the truth of the matter is, if you experience the flames of hell, you will know how important it is right this very moment. Instead of walking the malls, instead of watching TV programs, you could be sharing your faith now. You could have did it. And right now, every minute, every moment counts for him. I'm concerned about my brothers. You concerned about your lost people in your family? Your kids, your children, your brothers, uncles, aunts? They're on their way to hell if they ain't got Jesus. I'm just going to tell you how it is. Hell awaits them. And when they get there, they can't get out. But you now have the opportunity. You and I have the opportunity to make sure our first conversation with people is, are you saved yet? Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Christ of Christmas? Well, the fact of the matter is that the opportunity right now is the opportunity to go to heaven. And so he says that I want my family members to go. I don't want them, ward them off. If I can't get out, at least I just want to make sure nobody else comes. He said, no, send Lazarus to tell them. Because Lazarus was dead. And if somebody from the dead, oh, they'll be so, that'll get their attention. Somebody's from the dead saying, come. And, you know, it's about miracle mongers. They want a miracle. They want something spectacular. Amen. We had Lazarus that came from the dead when Jesus raised a man from the dead and the Pharisees tried to kill him again. Somebody coming from the dead don't change, folk. They just want to see a miracle. He says that they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone come from the dead. You think a miracle, it takes a miracle to get them to believe. No, if they won't hear Foster when he's preaching, let them go on to hell because their heart is not really right. Or the preacher, not necessarily me, anybody. You won't come out of my little sermon. Ain't nobody going to come down here and walk on water and make you come. You think, well, they just need something else. They don't need nothing else but to hear the word. And if the word finds root in your heart, you'll get saved. And I could start shouting right now because it's so wonderful. And all it takes is for you to open up. You won't. That's between you and the Lord. But I do know this. If your heart is right, he'll open up your heart. And he'll come in and you'll be changed forever. And all this stuff you're trying to get ain't important no way. You better get saved. Because he's going to bring some joy that you can't explain it. And most of us in here know how good that joy is. It's a joy that you can't explain. Money can't buy it. It don't. If you ask me about if I want $1 billion plus this joy, I say I'll take my joy. The rich man left it all on the other side. I'm going to get to him maybe. But the truth of the matter is that your heart condition is what has to be. God has to take out that heart and give you another heart. And then you don't want money, you want the master. And he says that, he said, a miracle, it's not that they need to hear a miracle, they just need to hear the gospel and respond to it. If they respond to the gospel, they'll be changed forever. And I'd rather see my child in heaven poor than to see them in hell rich. Because he didn't take it no way, did he? Did he? Nothing went with him to hell. All he had was his soul. I'm going to get to the soul. Now I won't go to this service, but I'm going to get to the soul. Lord gave me a message about it. But the thing is that he says that now this man, while folk are watching TV, the opportunity of salvation is of the utmost importance. And we overlook that opportunity, don't we? We overlook that opportunity. And Jesus made us aware of the fact that we are going to need salvation. He says, appointed unto man wants to die, and after death comes the judgment. That's what he says. But oftentimes we value the now over the later, the here over the there, the present over the future. We got our priorities. We don't know what's important. You value what you got on when the things you have has nothing to do with your next life. Get all the degrees you want. Get all the status you want. In other words, Lazarus, I mean, the rich man, he didn't call his name, but he gives a rich man. And he had, I imagine he had all the contacts. He had the, he knew the right people. He had position. He had fame. He had fortune. He had it all. Talking about the rich man. He was privileged. He was powerful, no doubt. And it says that he was buried at least, but the poor man was not even buried. They just took them and threw them in the garbage heap. Amen. Because he didn't have nothing, no way. I mean, probably, you know, he didn't have no insurance. And he couldn't even buy him nothing to eat. But the rich man, I imagine he had an elaborate funeral. I'm sure that he had the best program at his funeral. I'm sure he had the nicest church in town. He had at his funeral, he had all of that. No doubt he even had some things named after him, maybe. He was a big shot. He was a big wig. Have we got a witness? He had everything. Amen, amen, amen. But he didn't have Jesus. And the fact of the matter is that he was buried, and nothing stopped it. And after he died, everything changed. He wakes up in hell, and nothing he did on the other life counted. Amen. He did all that for nothing. I guess what I'm saying is, they gave him a big send-off. And he might even had a preacher that gave him, you know, tried to preach him in. Say how, talking about how good he was and all. But I can't preach you into heaven. That's your life. But the thing is that this man was famous, but it was in the eyes of man. Your popularity, your fame, and all you got. In human eyes, in the eyes of man, you praised by people. Oh, but don't fool you. You may even be praised by your mom and daddy. But you better be praised by God before you leave here. Your mom and daddy don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. I'm sorry. They can take care of you. You can be loving, crazy about them, lovey-dovey-dovey. All you want to, you better get Jesus. You better hear something from heaven. You know those folk that didn't get in? You know the folk that didn't get in Mark, in Matthew chapter 7, he says that they got to heaven, and he said, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And I think in Matthew 7:22, I didn't plan to say this, but he says that, "In thy name we cast out devils, we did all this stuff, we prophesied." You mean you don't know me? I don't know you. You know me, but I don't know you. God's got to know you. You can't just know him. If you're going to heaven, you better get an exchange. He better know you, and you'll know if he knows you. You'll know, because he'll change. He'll make you put your whiskey bottle down. He'll change you on the inside. You better know him. But they didn't get in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we got to understand is that there was a big change. I'm rushing this so the change that takes, there was a change, in, not only was there a change in his status and a change physically, but there was a change socially. There was a societal change. Do you notice that all the folk in hell are in hell, and all the folk in heaven are in heaven? You see, on earth, we all mixed up. We all mixed up right down here, aren't we? The Bible said, "Let the wheat and the tares grow together. The saved and the unsaved people grow together." And we all mingle in right now. But one day there will come a separation. One day there will become a divide. God is going to separate the real folk in these pews from the false folk in these pews. And a man ain't got nothing to say about it. In the next life, man don't run nothing. The devil don't run nothing. God runs that world. He does not run nothing over there. Man, people that blow your head up and you do things that cost of people and you try and impress people and people got, that don't mean nothing on the other side. On the other side, you got to know Jesus for yourself. You can't, there's no contacts. There's no, I don't care if you're a five-star general. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're doctor this or doctor that. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if you're an attorney. I don't care who you are. You can be the governor. I don't care who you are. On the other side, you ain't nobody. All your titles are left on the other side. Now, your honorable deeds ought to be recognized, and we'll get to that maybe if too many folk don't walk out on me. But the truth of the matter is that all of your deeds are not going to be, no human, nothing that man praises you for don't mean that God is going to praise you. I'd rather be praised by God for being faithful in the choir stand. I was a faithful choir member. Let me get on out of here. Your membership in the choir is more important than your office in this world. How you treating God? How you treating the church? How you treating him? Well, the fact of the matter is, is that things are going to drastically change. The Bible says, and I'm going to skip to the end of this. The Bible says that we all going to have to answer to God. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 5:10, that it says that that we all going to have to give an account unto God of the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. We're going to have to answer. Whether they be good or whether they be bad. Amen. Revelation makes a very interesting statement you don't want to overlook. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. It says that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Henceforth, says the Spirit, they rest from their labor. And these last five words, what's going to get you? And their works do follow them. Their works do follow them. You're not going to heaven by yourself. Your work's going. It's not just about this unsaved folk that's going to hell, but it's about the saved folk call themselves going to heaven. Your work's going to follow you on. I know you wish you could get in the grave and pour the dirt over your face. And I know you wish you could get out of this life without having to have to give an account for the next life. That would be the easy way out. I do all my little dirt and do all my this and that and the other. And I just stop Christianity on my name and just act a fool and do all of that. And then I'm just going to go. I'm going to die and hide in the grave. No, you coming out. You going to have to answer for your sin. The fact of the matter is, I'm going to stop this. But here's the thing. There's an advantage of this life over the next life. Did you know that? There is an advantage of this life over the next life. And what is the advantage? This life is important. Matter of fact, there's some things you can do in this life only. This is the only life you can get saved in. This is the only place you can get saved on earth. Once you leave the earth, you can't get saved. You can't get saved in heaven. And you sure ain't getting saved in hell. Because they ain't going to let nobody out down there. Right here, the unique opportunity, the advantage of earth is that you can get saved on this side of the grave only. Once you die, you can't get saved. That's up to you. Like the rich man. He told him in his lifetime. I guess I can call the earth is our home box office. Huh? This is the old people. You said this is our dressing room. The earth, this life is not that important, but this is the place. What makes it so important is this is the place where you get ready for the next life. You can only get ready for the next life in this life. All you're going to do, you're going to serve God, work for God, worship God. You better do it now because you can only do it here. Only you getting on the other side want to do a whole lot for God. He don't need it then. Only on earth do we have the unique opportunity to work for the Lord, to put our time in, to serve the Lord, only on this side. But you may choose to watch TV. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, you better be careful how you treat folk. Because everything, this life gets you ready for the next life. And you're going to have to give an account to God on what you did down here in this life. And even if you get saved, you're going to have to give an account. Because even Christians are not perfect and they don't read their Bibles like they ought to. They definitely don't go to prayer meeting. They don't all go to Bible teaching. I've been there too. You and I are going to have to give an answer to God. This precious time that we have, people will do some of any and everything on this side, wasting all kind of time, watching TV, playing bingo, playing Monopoly, playing cards. They'll do anything. They're somewhere playing bingo. And this man said, I wished I had that chance. I wish I had the chance to somebody to talk to my brothers, tell them that it's real. As long as we keep thinking that, oh, it's not real. Hell ain't. Them people in church don't know what they're talking about. Make no mistake about it. You know it's real because Spirit telling you right now it's real. Believe the Spirit. I'm just up here. I'm not the one. He's the one talking to you. He says that you got to believe, know that I exist. Now, we're going to know each other when we get to heaven. We're going to know each other when we get to heaven. Amen. This man was dead and he knew Lazarus. He's unsaved. Unsaved folk going to be smarter than us? No. All of the folk that ever died in your family, if they were saved, you'll see them again. How do you know? Well, when you read Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, Peter, James, and John was on the mountain of transfiguration. And the Bible says that while they was up on that mountain, guess who showed up? Moses and Elijah. Moses, I thought he was dead. Didn't you think he was dead? Moses died. He didn't even get in the promise. 2,000 years old, Moses, what you doing still around? Moses is in the New Testament, y'all. In the promised land. Because the Mount Transfiguration is in the promised land. So he got in the promised land, didn't he? Elijah, 1,000 years old, he is on the mountain. All of your loved ones, you have the opportunity. But what has to happen is they have to get the Holy Spirit in their hearts. They got to do it. The deposit has to be made. The down payment of the Holy Spirit. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because I got the Spirit. I'm not going to wait to get to heaven to get the Spirit. He already put it in me. It's the deposit, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 8. It's the earnest of the Spirit. And we can see our loved ones. Come on, sister, or whomever's going to sing. We can see our loved ones. Because I got a whole lot more here if y'all don't hear them move, amen. See, you're going to have to give an answer to God about your church membership, about your being a parent to your child, about being a spouse to your husband, about being a wife. You're going to have to give an account about being a choir member in the choir stand. You're going to have to give an account for being a pastor at a church. You're going to have to give an account for being a deacon, an usher. We all going to have to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Make no mistake about it. We're going to have to answer to God. You Christians running around and doing whatever you want to do. Act like you want to treat folk like you want to treat. And breaking all of God's rules. You are going to have to give an account in the next